The gospel reading is from Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 20. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. The word of the Lord.
Well, I'm sure all of you have encountered someone, or maybe you have been someone who, when you want to express something you really care about, we often say, "I would give my life for so-and-so. I would give my life for my family or my friends. I would give my life for my country. I would give my life for this cause or for that cause." This is something we sometimes say to express that we have, you know, real deep devotion to something we care about. And, you know, sometimes I think a person might be telling the truth when they say something like this. For instance, I think there are plenty of people who would be willing to die for someone they love, whether it's a spouse or a child or just a good friend. I mean, a lot of us would probably do that. But I think there's also a way in which talk can be a little bit cheap when it comes to making this kind of pledge. Because truth be told, most of us in this world, most of the time, will probably not find ourselves in a scenario where we have to choose whether we're going to die for something. It could happen, you know, if you're in the fire department or a police officer or just get caught up in a really intense scenario, it could happen. It sometimes does. But most of the time in our modern, fairly safe life, it doesn't. We're not forced to die for things. And so it's easy to say that we would sacrifice ourselves by dying for something, because chances are we won't have to die for anything. But the idea of a dying sacrifice actually runs deep within the human psyche. You know, ancient religions across the world, not just the ones we know, but the ones in many different cultures, involved dying sacrifices, sacrifice of animals, sacrifice of precious objects, even, horrifically, even the sacrifice of people sometimes. And we may remember that a major part of the Jewish faith, certainly at the time of Jesus and before, was offering animal sacrifices at the Temple of Jerusalem. And these sacrifices could be a variety of things. They could be lambs, they could be doves, but whatever they were a way for people, when they felt guilty, when they felt like they weren't right with God, they could offer a dying sacrifice and make their peace with God. And of course, when we meet the gospel story and the story of Jesus, we also meet this idea, in a sense, of a dying sacrifice, which of course is Jesus Christ, who in Scripture is called the Lamb of God, and that's a direct correlation with this idea of sacrifice. And there's this idea in our faith that Jesus' sacrifice has somehow brought peace to God's people. And you know, truthfully, Christians debate about why this works and what exactly the cross does, but the point is just that the concept of a dying sacrifice is very much familiar in human history. But today in the first reading, the reading from Romans that I want to focus on today, we come to something very different. In Romans, St. Paul says, as we heard, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." You heard that, right? That Paul has turned the idea of a sacrifice on its head, and he's arguing here that the primary calling of Christians, at least most Christians, is not to die for Jesus, at least hopefully not. Right? That's what Jesus does for us, But Paul says the bigger calling for most of us is to live for Jesus. Paul says that Jesus calls on us to become living sacrifices. And I think this is such an important message in faith because as Christians, we do tend to get stuck on the idea of dying sacrifices. This is true even in the way that we think about Jesus himself. You know, if you stopped your average Christian on the street and you asked them, what is the story of Jesus about? What is the gospel about? Many will simply tell you that Jesus is the one who died for our sins. And don't get me wrong, this is absolutely true. And Jesus' death for us is a huge part of the Christian message. But I think sometimes we need to remember that it's not the whole thing. You know, every night or every week in church, we recite the Apostles' Creed. And I love the Apostles' Creed. It's a beautiful statement of faith that connects us to 2,000 years of Christian history. And so I'm so glad that we say it. But there have been some who have criticized the Apostles' Creed, not that it's wrong, but that it's actually incomplete, in that it almost completely ignores the content of Jesus' life and ministry. You know, if you look at it in the second section where it talks about Jesus, it basically says that Jesus was born by the Virgin Mary, and then it skips to his betrayal and death. He dies, and then he's resurrected before you know it. And again, like I said, the death and certainly the resurrection of Jesus are vital pieces of the puzzle. But some have asked, what about everything in between? What about the stuff between his birth and his death? What about the way that Jesus lived? What about the way that he loved sinners and outcasts even when society said he shouldn't? What about the ways that Jesus healed the sick? What about all the things that Jesus said about loving everybody? You know, at the end of the day, I guess it's worth remembering that Jesus was not only a dying sacrifice. He was also a living sacrifice. He lived in the way that we are meant to live, and in so doing, he shows us a different way of living that in our lives we begin, at least, to approach as people of faith. So, okay, if we are called to be living sacrifices, I wonder what this could mean. Well, in truth, it's beyond the scope of this sermon to outline every single aspect of Christian life. There's a million different things we could say about what it means to be a person of faith in Jesus. But I do want to focus on one piece that St. Paul himself focuses on in this reading from Romans. We heard earlier he says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." So again, according to St. Paul, a major part of growing in Christian faith involves the renewal of our minds. And why is this? Why does Paul focus on the mind? Well, for Paul, who loves talking about the gospel, Paul believes that you can't really get a true sense of what the gospel means, the gospel that draws us towards Jesus in new life, without also acknowledging the stuff that gets in the way, the brokenness that pulls us away from Jesus and away from new life. And you know, we have a million different words for it. We can call it sin, we can call it selfishness, we can call it evil, and it really doesn't matter what we call it, but Paul says our brokenness is important to recognize, that it's real, and that this stuff gets in the way of who we're truly called to be. And Paul takes seriously the idea that the root of human brokenness is not just that we do bad things. Yes, we do bad things, he knows, but he says that's a symptom of the problem. He says, rather, we do destructive things because our very minds are broken. In other words, we have broken ways of thinking. We have broken ways of experiencing the world and ourselves and God and other people. And if we think about it honestly, we think about our lives, we think about the world, we know that this is true. We fall too much in love with things that aren't really that important. We underlove things that are truly important. And in the long run, as we live in this world, we all kind of inherit ways of thinking about the world from our culture and from other people that really are destructive, destructive mindsets. We can think, for instance, in our own culture about the rise and really pervasiveness of materialism, how much we love stuff. We can think about how much girls and women struggle with image and identity because, you know, the idea of how beautiful you are is so overemphasized in our culture. We can think about today the ways that we divide ourselves, we ridicule, we hate each other based on our politics, our creed, our color, our lifestyle, whatever it is. So Paul says we have to have our minds renewed because the renewal of our minds is about learning to think more like Jesus thinks, which also sometimes means committing ourselves to a kind of mental resistance. Mental resistance, meaning that we resist the destructive worldviews that want to find their ways inside of our lives. And so let's take a few moments at the end of this sermon to think about what might it mean to have our minds renewed in our own time. And again, there are a million different things it could mean. There are a million different ways that we might rethink life for Jesus. But I wanted to focus on two of them that I think are common things we struggle with in today's society. Well, everyone knows, and I mentioned this already, but everyone knows that around the world that Americans are very materialistic. We have more stuff, we buy more stuff, we consume more stuff and throw more stuff away than any other culture. And you know, often when we talk about our materialism and how much we love stuff, we often say things like, you know, I buy far too much stuff, I have far too much stuff, but all well, right? And we kind of make a joke about it. But I wonder, what if we didn't just say, oh, well? What if we actually tried to simplify our lives and downsize because we realize we don't need all the stuff we have? What might it feel like to sacrifice some of the stuff that we don't need and maybe share them with other people who might need these things? And, you know, sometimes I wonder what this might feel like, and I wonder if it might be really hard, but if it might actually make us happier in the long run. I have some friends who, for their recent Lenten discipline, during Lent, they decided instead of giving up like chocolate or something like that, that they would give away things that they have in their house that they don't need, and they would give them to people who do need them. And I'll tell you, they didn't just give away junk. They didn't like search the pantry for cream corn. They gave away nice, functional things that they didn't need, that they didn't use. So they came across a family that needed some furniture, and they had some furniture that they really didn't use, a chair, a table, and they just gave it away to these people. And one of these people shared that, you know, at the time, it was very hard to do. It was hard to give away something because, like, oh, I like this thing that I'm giving away, even though I never use it. But they shared that in the long run, they didn't miss it at all. And it gave them such a sense of freedom and joy and meaning to give away something to someone who needed it when they really didn't need it. So I wonder if we might be happier if we sacrifice things that we don't need in terms of our stuff. One other thought about something, what it might mean to renew our minds in our current culture. A while ago, I was listening to the radio, and I heard an interview with a lady who had written a book called Alone Together. Alone Together. And the book is about how we overuse technology in our culture, especially the things that we hold in our hands, so our tablets and our phones, and how this overuse of technology is actually doing harm to families because essentially we are alone together. Even when we're together, we're into our technology and we're basically ignoring each other. And she shared how people are actually losing connection with each other, and maybe even scarier, some folks, especially younger folks who maybe are too much into this, are actually losing the skill of engaging in face-to-face relationships. And so it's true, we are a country full of folks with not just a love of technology, probably technology addictions, and it's actually hurting us. And in truth, I know this because I struggle with the overuse of technology too. But I wonder, what would it look like to resist this? And I don't mean that we have to go to the trash can and throw our phones inside, right? Technology can be wonderful. I'm not anti-technology. I'm old enough. I remember road trips where there's more than one car, and it's before the time of cell phones, and one car gets separated from the other. And it was really hard, right, to find that other car and reunite. So technology can be wonderful, and it can bring us closer together, literally and figuratively. But what about when it gets in the way? And I wonder if Jesus isn't calling many of us to pull back from our overuse of technology for the sake of relationships, for the sake of things that are so much more important. Well, those are just two examples, and I don't say them as your judge. I say them as being an American myself, stuff and technology. But I wonder what it would mean for Jesus to let us renew our minds in these aspects and in other aspects of our lives. And truly, there are countless other ways we can look to. But I think what all these things share in common, what it would mean to renew our minds, is that they call us to better love God and better love each other. It's always about reordering our mindset so that the love of God and the love of each other comes first. So today we remember that we are called to be living sacrifices of God by having our minds renewed in Jesus Christ. May God renew each of you in your minds, in your bodies, and in your spirits, today and always. Amen.